Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This week, we'll hear all about mobile phones with a roundtable discussion from Shane Jackson and others. But before we hear that, this past week, we've heard of the death of Clarence Wiley. For those of you who do not know, Clarence Wiley worked for GW Micro and was a pillar in this industry. He will be sorely missed. You can go back and listen to many interviews that we had here on Main Menu with Clarence right here on Main Menu. Marlena also had him on his show, and he's really going to be missed. There have been a lot of very nice comments made on blogs and mailing lists within the accessibility community, and our heart goes out to his family and to those with whom Clarence worked at GW Micro. So, for the beginning of Main Menu, we would like to observe a period of silence, and then we're going to hear the obituary read by Steve Bauer. Many of you will know who that is on the interactive side, as well as on other shows heard on Mainstream. Now, on the second hour on Main Menu Live, we're going to be hearing from Saratech Corporation. They'll be coming on and telling us all about their new 3.0 product that will be coming out, among other things. In fact, they have a contest going this summer, and we'll talk to you all about that as well. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and observe this period of silence in honor of Clarence Wiley. Then we'll listen to the obituary, and then we'll get right into this week's Main Menu presentation from Shane Jackson and others. We'll then have an access watch from Jamie Pauls, and then we'll slide right into Main Menu Live. Now, a short period of silence.
Clarence Lloyd Wiley died June 14, 2008 at home of cancer. He was born February 15, 1947 in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Clarence is survived by his wife of 20 years, Dranda Kirksey Wiley. Uncle and Aunt Dove and Louise Wiley, eight first cousins of Jonesboro, and a devoted mother-in-law, Elsie Kirksey of Cleveland, Tennessee. Preceded in death by parents Elmer Lloyd and Eula Maud Murr Wiley, and aunt and uncle George and Ethel Bowman Arrowood. Clarence is a 1967 graduate of the Tennessee School for the Blind and an expert piano technician. He worked for 20 years at L.C. Tiller in Nashville in piano and organ sales. He entered the computer business in 1989. Most recently, he was sales and training manager for GW Micro Incorporated. His loss will be felt in the adaptive technology world, making computers accessible to those who are blind, as well as in the dog guide world. Clarence trusted his safe travels worldwide to four seeing eye dogs since 1980. Memorial contributions may be made to the Seeing Eye Incorporated, P.O. Box 375, Morristown, New Jersey, 07963. We wish to acknowledge the kindness and loving spirit of those from Alive Hospice who provided care and support during this brief illness, as well as friends and colleagues from Dranda's work, Health Assist Tennessee, www.healthassisttn.org. Contributions may be made to either of these organizations as well. Family and friends are invited to gather to express gratitude for his life on Wednesday, June 18, at 11 a.m. at the residence at Alive at Hospice, 1718 Patterson Street in Nashville, and to visit with the family following. Arrangements by Crawford Funeral Home and Cremation Center. There is a guest book at www.crawfordservices.com. or call 615-399-1115.
And hello, everybody. This is Shane Jackson, and you're with the Blind World blog and podcast, and hopefully I don't know for sure yet, but hopefully Main Menu. We're going to try to get Daryl and Jeff to upload this, but provided that Skype and Audio Hijack are working okay, which they seem to be, we are now live. And with me in the virtual studio today, I have Dennis Bartlett in Ontario, Canada. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
And I have Holly Anderson in the state of Tennessee right above us here in Alabama. Good evening, Mrs. Anderson.
Hello.
Ms. Anderson is well known to listeners from the Darcy and Holly podcast and the Screenless Witchers. And I'm glad to have you on today.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve Sauzen. Hello, Steve, up in Maine.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, Steve will be familiar to anyone who's on several of the blind lists. He runs the Assistive Technology Show each Wednesday at 7 Eastern. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And you can find out more at his website at maine.com. And I thank you each and every one for being here today. We all have our specialties, and today's podcast is going to be concerning mobile technology. What is it? How do you use it? Where is it going? And all that good stuff. We have people here that have used MobileSpeak for Symbian, Talks for Symbian, MobileSpeak Pocket, MobileSpeak Smartphone, LG, the LG series. We have people who are familiar, reasonably familiar with GPS. And so I've got some expertise with Braille displays, mobile Braille displays. So we're going to address all those things today. And I think what I'll do is let each one of you, beginning with Dennis and then Holly and then Steve, we'll go around and let you say something about what you'd like to talk about today, and we'll begin this little roundtable discussion. Dennis?
Okay. Hello, all. This is Dennis Bartlett in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, formerly of the U.S., grew up in California and lived in Minnesota for years and then moved back to California and then moved here. So, been around. I guess one of the things we should cover are what are the devices that we're currently using. And so I'll start that off with what I'm currently using as a mobile device is a Nokia N82, which I just picked up last week. And I also have what is most commonly known as a T-Mobile MDA or HTC Wizard that I can switch to if I decide that I want to switch back to that. And that's what I'm using for mobile devices right now. I have access to all kinds of other things, however, because I'm doing some part-time work for one of the major assistive technology dealers in Canada, Frontier Computing. So I get to play with all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we'll cover any of that we get into. My main interests are, of course, mobile phones and, you know, cellular phones, PDAs, and GPS.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Ms. Anderson?
I'm going to be talking about the LG series of phones through Verizon. I'm currently using the LG Envy, ENV, also known as the VX9900. And it doesn't have mobile speak or Talks, but it does talk a bit out of the box. It does text messaging, and it does a few things. It's not completely accessible, but it does what I need, so. And I'll be talking a little bit about that today.
Okay, and I understand also that you did a review of that phone, and anybody that subscribes to the Darcy and Holly show at darcyandholly.com can get that review. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I also submitted it for Blankle Tech, so I don't know when it'll be up there.
Well, there's no telling knowing Blankle Tech of late, but I'm glad you submitted it, and I'll look forward to that. Steve Sauzen.
Well, I've got a number of phones. I'm kind of a brat in a way. I got into a program where I could beta test some phones for a local cell phone company. So they gave me all kinds of phones and then decided they didn't want to sell them. But they're not mine, so I get to look at them until they demand I give them back. And it's kind of like teasing. Here's all the phones you could have, except they're not yours. but I get to play, and that's really fun. I use Talks primarily, and so I can I'll be demonstrating, I guess, or talking about Talks on the Nokia E65. But Talks works similarly on other Symbian-based phones, and that's kind of one of the drawbacks that we'll talk about in a little bit, is that Talks only works on Symbian phones, but I'll be demonstrating, I guess, on the E65, which is a really neat phone, not as cool as the N82 that everyone seems jazzed about these days, but I can't talk them into giving me an N82 to beta test, and my wife threatened to shoot me if I buy one. So I'll be showing them the E65 with Talks, which is very similar to the N82. A little bit slower processor, and the keypad isn't quite as cool, but a neat phone just the same.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. And myself, I'm Shane Jackson, and I use the HTC Titan. That's the AT&T 8525 running Windows Mobile 6, and I'm using MobileSpeak Pocket, so I will be able to address MobileSpeak Pocket today with some discussion of Braille displays, hopefully, Bluetooth technology, Bluetooth headsets also. I'd like to go around and get your opinions about those. But let's begin with each one of us describing our screen readers and how your phone operates with your screen reader. In other words, what all can you do with it? And Dennis, since you've got MobileSpeak up and running on that N82, why don't you talk a little bit about the N82 and what I'm going to do directly after you finish. We'll go on to Steve, since he's doing Talks on the Symbian operating system, and then I'll talk about MobileSpeak Pocket, and then we'll get to the LG phones as well. So we'll do it in a little bit different order, but I think that's the logical order. So Dennis, you start, and then Steve, and then I'll pick up from there, and then Miss Holly will take over when I'm done. So the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, well, I just got this N82, which is a nice phone. It's a nice phone in itself. It has a lot of features. Many of you may have heard of this phone because it's the phone that will accept running the K-Reader product, which will allow you to scan documents and read them with your phone. But I don't have that on here yet. I'm a little bit poor, so I can't afford to spend that kind of money on the software yet. But who knows? We'll see. But on the phone itself, which is kind of interesting, it has a lot of different applications, one of which is a podcatching client, so you can subscribe to all your podcasts on your phone. And be careful when you do that. A little story about that. I got the phone and I really wasn't thinking, but and that happens sometimes. And I thought, oh, podcatching client. Well, I guess I'll try to subscribe to a couple things and download them and see what happens. And I did that. And next morning I got a text message from Rogers saying, your bill is over $100. You might want to give us a call and talk about a plan. So I gave them a call, and they said, your actual bill is $2,600 and some dollars.
Oh!
And I said, oops. And
I take it you began to use the blind card.
Well, not really. No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't even use that.
Okay.
I just used the fact, it's a new phone, and I didn't know what all it did, and I just tried some things, and I didn't realize that that's what was going to happen. And they transferred me around to a couple of people, three or four different people. And finally I got to someone who was willing to help, and he says, I bet you have one of the new HTC Touch phones. And I said, no. I don't. I said, but I have an unlocked phone, and it has all these features. And I said, I accidentally made a mistake. And he says, okay, well, we'll take it off your bill. Here's a reference number. When you get your bill, call us back with the reference number, and we'll take it off. So that worked out fine.
Wow.
So much for playing. It asked for an access point.
Sure, in two easy steps.
Yeah. It asked for an access point, and rather than choosing my own Wi-Fi network, I just chose Rogers.
So talk about what makes the MobileSpeak screen reader your choice. Why do you use MobileSpeak on that particular phone? And you mentioned Wi-Fi. Most Most Symbian phones don't have Wi-Fi, or didn't when I had Symbian, so you might want to talk about that as well. But tell us about MobileSpeak.
MobileSpeak, I like MobileSpeak for the fact that I'm not really a big fan of Eloquence, although I've used it, you know, a lot, and do use it when I use my Windows machine and use JAWS, but I'm not a real Eloquence fan. So MobileSpeak has the DeckTalk speech in it. And maybe you can hear.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to do it a little bit differently earlier and go to the line in on the Mac, but it didn't like that too well.
Yeah, just hold it up in front of your mic. We can hear that.
So anyway, but this phone, I don't like Eloquence that well. And one of the reasons I don't is the fact that the phonics speech or DeckTalk speech, whatever you want to call it, has the smallest footprint of all of them, so it doesn't take as much memory as a lot of the other voices that I could use. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I like it. And MobileSpeak seems, you know, it's fairly easy to use. I've used Talks. In fact, I have Talks on. I have a demo version of Talks on this phone as well, only because I'm trying to see which one works better with Wayfinder access.
Yeah, and I do hear that Talks has, or MobileSpeak has some issues with web browsing on the N82, and that they are working on that now. But Talks is better right now in that regard.
Yeah, and I don't web browse on my phone that much.
Yeah.
You know, that's not an issue right now.
Okay.
But the phone has, you know, like I say, all these features, and you know, MobileSpeak works well with it. Has all the basic functionality that I need in it right now, mm-hmm. except for the web browsing. Mm-hmm. Talks works with web browsing on this phone, which you know is good. But like I say, I don't really web browse on my phone, so. Only thing I do is download a bunch of podcasts.
and get yourself in trouble with your wife. Text messaging. You do text messaging
I do text messaging. Well, my wife, I primarily text message with my wife.
Okay.
Or text. Sometimes my boss will text message me something, but that's not very often. But I do some text messaging. Mm-hmm. This phone also has an application to be able to view office documents and, you know, and work with them. You can't create them unless you already have one in there that you can modify, but you can't create a new office document on the phone.
All right.
Unless I spend some money and buy the whole suite. And,
then your wife comes back up in the discussion.
Yeah, it's not that important that I do that.
When you do texting, do you do T9 or predictor text? Is that what you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Text.
But you can.
I can do it, but I don't. I just don't like predictive text.
Okay, great.
But I do, you know, everything else, and it has an instant messaging client on it. Although I don't have an AOL account right now, so
okay.
I can't use it. But you know, I'm sure it works rather well. The phone also has. A lot of entertainment stuff. It has a good media player that'll take Windows media files and anything you throw at it pretty much. And as I mentioned before, the podcasting stuff. It also has an FM radio in it. And the FM radio, however, can't be used with either screen reader while it's, you know, while the screen reader is running. So you have to pretty much go in and preset your station with the screen reader running and then exit the radio program and then mute your screen reader and then go back in and the radio station will start to play. So, but it's, you know, it's nice to have it anyway. Not a big deal, but it's, you know, sometimes you want something different or you're sitting at a bus stop and you think you might want to hear what's on the FM radio, so you do that.
Okay.
Again, the phone has Wi-Fi, and it works really well with Wi-Fi. I've used it in a couple of different hotspots with Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. And also has Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. Also has, and all your regular GPRS mm-hmm. connection type settings that all the phones have. also has what I thought was interesting in their tools menu was a wizard that would go out and find all your necessary network settings for your data network just by going through this wizard. And I hadn't seen that before. I'd seen them where you had to either do them all manually, or a lot of the providers used to have a spot on their website where you could go and choose your even Nokia used to have it. I haven't seen it lately. You could go and choose your provider, and it would send you a text message to your phone, to your Symbian phone, and you open the text message, and it would automatically go and do all your settings for you. So it's kind of neat to see this wizard. So it's kind of neat. Then I've been working with Wayfinder Access. And Wayfinder Access is actually pretty neat.
All right, we'll talk about that in just a second with GPS. I'm going to get to that. That's one of the main topics I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Steve, why don't you take up where Dennis left off? You're going to do it from the talks angle. And tell us about your phone and what all talks does and how accessible talks is with a particular system you're using. And just give us a rundown sort of like Dennis did there.
Well, my job is kind of easy because Dennis handled most of it, actually. Most of what he said is applicable to the E65. The E65 is, as I mentioned earlier, not as cool of a phone as the N82, but I can kind of quantify that a little bit better based on what Dennis said. The E series phones don't have all the multimedia applications. I don't have the FM radio. I have a media player. It doesn't have stereo speakers, which I think the N82... I think it has stereo speakers.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
The E65 just has one speaker. Let's see, no radio. I think the processor's a little bit slower, but it's got the other applications pretty much the same. Even has a BlackBerry Connect application, so if you're in an environment where you have to use, where everyone else is using a BlackBerry, you can use the phone to connect to BlackBerry. I chose Talk simply because it was the first one out, and I was kind of really bummed that I couldn't do text messaging was my big thing. I had friends in Europe that were using it all the time and talking about how cool it was, kind of like instant messaging on the phone. And then I started having some friends here in the U.S. that were using it as it started getting popular here, and I just couldn't, and it really drove me up the wall. And I finally got talks with the Nokia 3650, which was this really interesting old phone that had a kind of circular keypad on it. It looks like a rotary dial phone, albeit in reverse for whatever reason. The one is on the left, not the right, but it's conceptually it looks kind of like a rotary phone if you flip the dial upside down. And I got that, and I got the version 1.something or other of Talks and started using text messaging and really, really loved it until I got my bill. It wasn't quite as high as Dennis's, and I really couldn't dispute it because throughout the month I had done the text messaging. But anyway, it was very fun, very addictive, and now I have a plan. Talks has, just like on the PC side where you have, WindowEyes and JAWS and System Access, it's the same way, I think, on the Symbian phones with Talks and Mobile Speak. They kind of go back and forth as to this one works better in this situation, and then next week this one works better in that same situation, but this one does this feature, and this one doesn't yet, but then this one does that feature, and they flip back and forth pretty quickly between what they're supporting and what they don't support. The neat thing that is really good about Talks is in the latest and greatest release, they've made it a lot more responsive. I can just kind of demonstrate real quick what that sounds like, but basically it's too fast. Let's just slow him down a little bit. As I go through the menus, now, of course, I'm kind of interrupting it as I go down, but if I arrow down real quick,
wow.
So it's very, very quick as far as the responsiveness, and it didn't used to be that way. It used to be a little bit of a lag.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like that even when editing text now or doing my beloved text messaging. It's also very quick, and I use the T9, predictive text messaging, where as you type a word, it tries to guess what you're doing. And I've just done it for so long, I'm just kind of used to it. But a friend of mine used to refer to that as guess a message, because when I first was getting used to it, I couldn't make the words come up that I wanted to come up. So I just said, well, they'll know what I mean. And I just sent it the way it was and prayed for the best. And for the most part, it worked. But now, so I can type pretty quick with it, but that's just, you know, like I say, a lot of practice and other charges to go with it. I've used this phone also as a note taker with a Bluetooth keyboard. Connect to it, and there's a notes application thing that you can type notes into, and then I can synchronize them back to my computer. They do have an application, like as Dennis mentioned, you can buy it that will let you create office documents and so forth. But just being generally cheap, I create my notes as text files and then just copy and paste them into whatever program I want to use them in later. And that's kind of neat because although it goes through batteries really, really quick, I have the phone anyway. And so, you know, for the additional cost of the Bluetooth keyboard, I also have a note taker. And it's, you know, doesn't have all of the features that the Icon and PacMate and Braille Notes and whatever have, but since I have the accessible phone, it wasn't that much of a price increase to kind of make it a note-taker function, especially when used with a headset and that sort of thing.
Now, when you say Bluetooth keyboard, which Bluetooth keyboard are you using? Are you using the Stowaway or the Nokia?
I'm using the Stowaway. I didn't like the Nokia. I looked at it, and it just the keys looked really, really small. The Stowaway one looks, I guess it's a personal preference thing, but the keys just seem more defined, bigger keys when that's folded out. The Nokia one just seems tiny. I mean, it's smaller when it's folded up, but it's got tiny keys when it's opened up as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, all right. Well, thank you, sir. And so it's meeting all your needs, and you're happy with Talks then?
I like it. The only thing I don't like about it, and I guess this is kind of a generic Symbian issue, is that I live in Maine, and the clients I work with are, of course, mostly in Maine. And the Symbian phones only are available for GSM network, which is basically AT&T, T-Mobile, and sometimes some smaller providers use it. Unicell, for example, up in Maine is using it. If you don't have one of those three companies, or if you're in an area where the coverage is not good with one of those three companies, you can't go Symbian. So my problem is that I live in Augusta, which is the capital, and I have good coverage. But a lot of my clients live in more rural areas of the state, and they don't have coverage with GSM. Other providers cover really well, Verizon or whatever, U.S. Cellular, but not AT&T, T-Mobile, and Unicell. And as such, Symbian isn't an option for them. And so although I love Talks and it meets my needs fine, what I'm finding is it doesn't meet the needs of most of the people I work with simply because of their inability to use Symbian on their provider or, you know, because of where they're geographically located. And that's a huge issue, obviously. So I've been playing around with Windows Mobile as well, because for a lot of folks, that's the only option. So, but for me, yes, meets my needs, and I'm very thrilled with it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, sir. I myself am a Windows Mobile user. I started out on Talks, one point something with a Nokia 6600 on T-Mobile, actually. And it was the only year of my life I've ever been a T-Mobile subscriber. Most of my cell phone life has been with AT&T/Singular/Bell South Mobility. But anyway, I started out with the 6682, graduated to the 6600, and then graduated to the 6682. Before that, I had used other phones that were, they didn't talk at all. So Talks was my first experience. I tried MobileSpeak for Symbian. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way it worked back then. I have not used it in years, so that's probably an irrelevant opinion, but just letting you know why I stuck with Talks. And I used my 6682 up until last year, which is 2007. In May of that year, or actually late April, I purchased a Singular 8525, which is a slider phone. It is a Windows Mobile phone, and a slider phone is a phone that has a screen. This is a rectangular PDA that I'm holding in my hand, and as I slide the top of the phone, I'm going to sit it in front of my microphone, which I can do. As I slide the top over. You heard it click. And now I have a keyboard. It's a QWERTY keyboard. It's very tiny. I think they said it has 43 keys, something like that. I haven't counted. On each side of the keyboard, above the writing keys, you have a soft key, left soft key, right soft key. And when you're done, you click it shut. Whoops.
Start.
And I'm hitting buttons, and it's going to tell me to stop that. I'm using MobileSpeak Pocket, which just came out with a brand new version, version 2. And we are using a Windows operating system. So if you use a PacMate, you're very familiar with this. If you use BrailleSense, you might be somewhat familiar with a Windows type operating system because you got buttons and boxes and combos, sliders, and all that good jazz. But anyway, I'll do a little bit of a demo here. And it's using the DeckTalk speech. You can also have Liquindo voices. They're high quality, and acapella voices, I think they're a little bit lower quality. But anyway, they're more human sounding. This is DeckTalk. They don't have Eloquence for the MobileSpeak Pocket platform. And let's see if I can...
Leaving touch
screen. Now, this is a touch screen, so you just heard click, click. And what that is, I'm clicking the touch screen. The way MobileSpeak Pocket sets this up is it creates four quadrants on the screen. One, two, three, and four as you go clockwise. And each one does a different thing. So if I double tap the... And this is not a demonstration of MobileSpeak Pocket by any means. I'm just going to show you a couple of things that you can do here that are cool. Windows Mobile, by the way, has Windows Media Player, which you're used to. It is accessible. It works well. It also has a full Office suite, Word Mobile, Outlook Mobile, which is called Messaging, Excel Mobile, and PowerPoint Mobile. And PowerPoint works reasonably well, I hear. I've never tried it, but I hear it works well. Well, let's do this. Let's double tap the number one quadrant, which is the left top.
Today.
And it says today. So that takes me to the today portion of the start menu. You can also do that from another a key on the phone. And if I want to find out what time it is and what day it is, I can hit a key here.
2:26 p.m. Friday, May 30th, 2008.
And that's reasonably fast, reasonably slow, but it's reasonably responsive. It's not going to be as responsive as a Talks phone. Let's go down.
Office Mobile B. Calendar C. Context Mobile. Internet Explorer I.
As you can see, there's a little bit of a lag in Windows Mobile. Now, a good friend of mine, Jesse Hernandez, has a Blackjack 2, which is using Windows Smartphone Edition with MobileSpeak Smartphone, which is MobileSpeak Pocket's little brother, if you will. I don't imagine smartphone users would like the term little brother, but in a way, that's what it is, because a smartphone is different from a Pocket PC in that Pocket PC has a touch screen and a smartphone usually has a number pad or a keyboard but no touch screen. And in the case of the Pantech Duo, you actually have a keyboard and a numpad, which is very cool. It'll slide both ways. I don't know how they got the hinges to do that, but it does, and it's a tiny little phone. Anyway, that's the difference between smartphone and Pocket PC. And MobileSpeak has two products, MobileSpeak Smartphone and MobileSpeak Pocket. And they each cost different amounts, and they each have different licensing schemes. In other words, you can't downgrade from one to the other or upgrade from one to the other, however you look at it. Once you've got one, that's what you're stuck with unless you want to buy another whole license. And I use this phone for note-taking, as Steve said, with a Bluetooth keyboard. I use the Stowaway, the old version, not the new one, the cooler one, with the number pad. Mine doesn't have the numpad. You have to use the function key. And I love the way they say in the manual, the blue function key and the green function key. Green and blue, I don't know the difference. One's on the right, one's on the left. That's the only way I've ever been able to figure it out. Also, and I'll talk about this later, I use Braille technology with this phone. MobileSpeak has what's called a BRF reader, which works great. Also, Word Mobile works fine. The internet works fine. Has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. So that's a little bit of a rundown of the 8525 with MobileSpeak Pocket. Miss Holly, if you would please, and this is going to be very exciting, because most people know about Mobile Speak and Talk, but they don't know a lot about the LG phone. So will you tell us what functions you have, how you're able to use your phone, and how accessible it is?
Okay, well, I have the LG Envy. There are several other LG phones. A lot of them have the same accessibility. The Envy is the only one of the series that reads text messages. The other ones, they read some menus. It's not going to be, you're not going to have the same access that they've just talked about with Mobile Speak and Talks. Blanked for a second. But the advantage, I think, in the LG phones is that they're accessible out of the box. You don't have to pay extra for the accessibility, which I really like because I don't really like to pay extra for my accessibility. I'm cheap. And for me, these phones do everything that I need. I can check my battery status. I can check my signal strength. I have access to a lot of the phone. And the things I don't have access to, I can just memorize the keystrokes. So for me, but I don't do a lot of the note-taking and the word processing and the stuff like that. So for me, it does everything I need. You have the Envy, which I just talked about, which does text messaging, and the 8350, which a lot of blind people are using. It does everything except read text messaging. So you have two options there. If you want to go for a little bit more expensive, you can get the text messaging. If you think that you don't need text messaging, then you don't have to have it. My phone actually has a keyboard as well. It flips open like a laptop style, and the keyboard runs the length of the phone. It's a 44 key. I didn't count them either. keyboard. And it's actually pretty easy to type on. I was a little skeptical at first when I first saw it, and now I'm pretty fast on it. So, and since it is a keyboard, I can't use the predictor text or anything like that. So, but it does read the letters as I type them. The drawback is it doesn't read the message that I've finished typing. So there's that. But I mean, they're short enough where if you make a mistake, I think you probably realize that you've made a mistake. So it's not, for me, it's not a deal breaker, but for some people it might be.
Or you do like Shane Jackson does on Twitter and tell him you just don't know how to spell.
Yeah. most people say that my messages come out okay, so I guess I'm doing it right. The speech is, I don't know what synthesizer they're using. It's very human sounding, and I don't know, I'm not exactly sure how it works. But you'll hear in my review, some of it's recorded speech, but there is some text-to-speech there has to be because it reads the text messages, and I'm not sure what synthesizer it uses. It can be pretty slow to respond sometimes when I'm typing fast. The speech sometimes can't catch up. And the Envy 2, because the one I have is the original version of the Envy. I got to check it out a little bit this week, and it's just as accessible, so if people are wondering which one to get, I would go for the Envy 2 because it's newer and it's still a good deal. What else? The problem with these phones, the LG series of phones, I believe they're only available through Verizon, the CDMA networks. I don't know about Sprint. I wasn't able to find out. And I'm not sure, again, about outside the U.S., but they're definitely available through Verizon. So for people who, you know, who don't really think they're going to need all the access with Mobile Speak and Talks, and who don't want to spend the money, I would definitely recommend the LG phones because I'm really happy with mine. I love my Envy, and when my contract's up in February, I'll probably get another one. So I'm very happy with my phone.
What is the difference? What is the big deal about the Envy 2? In other words, does it look the same? Does it function? What did you find out about it that might be a little different from the Envy, if there is anything outstanding that would be different?
It's a little smaller. The Envy is kind of, compared to other phones, it's kind of long and sort of bulky. It's not extremely, but for some people it might be. The Envy 2 is a little bit smaller, a little bit thinner, which means the keyboard's going to be smaller, so that's the trade-off, I guess.
Yeah.
But any more functionality?
No. Well, it reads a few more things, like it will speak more errors, Like, it will say, instead of... My phone doesn't tell me if a message has failed, or if a message... It tells me that a message is sent, but it won't tell me if it's failed. Whereas I think the NV2 does. The NV2 will say message sending. That's the main... I didn't get to play with it a lot, so that those are the main differences I saw. Okay. As far as access, I don't think it speaks a lot more. It just may speak a few more things.
What about Bluetooth, wireless? You have any of that? And if so, is it accessible?
I don't think the Envy has wireless.
Okay.
I don't think it does. Mm-hmm. I think it has Bluetooth. I've not really dealt much with Bluetooth, I have to say. But I think, I mean, there are people who have, so I think it is accessible. But I'm not sure how it works.
Okay, well, that's a perfect way to begin our next topic. And we want to talk about Bluetooth access. And this is keyboards, braille displays, headphones. Anybody that's listening to this will be very interested because blind people are gadget conscious. And most of us take a duffel bag or a shoulder bag or something with us or fill our pockets with gadgets. So, Steve, how about Bluetooth with Tox and E65 and headsets, keyboards, braille displays, whatever? What kind of experience do you have with that?
Well, I've used braille displays. I'm sorry, no, I have not used braille displays. I've used headsets, and of course I've used the Bluetooth keyboards. And experience is pretty good. I did have to, with the stowaway keyboard that I had to install a driver program, which is pretty easy to do and pretty accessible to do. And you go into I guess the process for connecting a Bluetooth device is similar to any other Bluetooth thing. There's a Bluetooth menu, and you go to add new device, and it shows a list of discovered devices, which means devices that it sees that are broadcasting their Bluetooth ID to the world. And you choose the device you want. The keyboard said something like, "Stowaway keyboard," so it's pretty easy to know what it was. Sometimes it's a little more cryptic, but you choose the device, and then it asks you to type in a PIN code, which is I don't know if it can be longer than 4 digits, but it's at least 4 digits code, 4 or 5 digits, I think. And basically, you have to type the same code on the device and on the phone so that they can connect and can share information in a secure form. Obviously, you can't type a PIN code on a headset. The headsets come with a pre-programmed PIN. Normally, it's something like 0000 or 1111 or something like that. But obviously, those come kind of pre-programmed. I do have a GPS receiver. The deal with it, though, is I got it as a gift from someone and was real happy to get it, but I didn't get the power plug with it. He didn't have it. He just had the receiver, and I can't find it. Normally I'm pretty good about finding adapters for those types of things, but I haven't been able to find one. So I probably should look harder and find it, but I've used it very sparingly because once the battery goes, I have no way to charge it up. It has an internal battery in it. That having been said, a year and a half later, it still works.
Wow.
Yeah, I turn it on and the thing still comes on. But I realize I'm playing on time here, and eventually I'll just have to get a power adapter for it, charge it back up. It'll probably freak out when I plug it in. But anyway, it paired very easily. The problem with it is I don't have the Wayfinder program, so I haven't really done much with GPS. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it because, again, not that these accessible phones are cheap, with the talks on the mobile speak, but they are cheaper than a lot of other devices. And if we can incorporate GPS into them, that maybe a lot more cost-effective for folks.
Have you looked at Lodestone?
I have looked at Lodestone, and I played around with it a little, but it didn't seem to do much except for telling me what my latitude and longitude was. And I may have had it misconfigured, but I couldn't tell what the corner was. That was, 82nd degrees.
Yeah,
west,
the newer version lets you do a lot of the pre-configuration stuff on the web.
Oh, that would be good.
And then it'll give you all that you need to know.
The other drawback to it is, and again, this is, I think, a rural Maine thing, is just that my understanding is most of the GPS solutions require a data connection to a server somewhere that has all the maps. And the problem is, if you're in a rural area and don't have cell service, you won't have the internet service. Or if you don't have an internet data plan, as Dennis can tell us, you might rack up some charges pretty quick with the GPS machine communicating with the server. again, I think it's a great idea. I like the idea of having the map server-based, because this way not everyone has to update them. When there's updates, they can just make one update and everyone, not everyone has to update their maps. You know, they can all be done centrally located. But depending on cell phone coverage, I think it's a pretty big drawback. If you're in a rural area, if you're in an area where there's no cell coverage, or if your carrier has a fluke event, like T-Mobile seems to frequently have, and you just lose internet for a little while, you can't use the GPS component, and that kind of makes me a little bit nervous. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how that develops.
Okay.
That's all I've done with Bluetooth. Yeah. Oh, wait, I've done one more real quick thing with Bluetooth. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just have to mention this because this is really cool. On the Mac, it can connect via Bluetooth, of course, to a PC or to the Mac. And if you do that, you can synchronize wirelessly over the Bluetooth connection. So when I want to synchronize it with my Mac, I just turn Bluetooth on. I keep it off by default unless I'm using my keyboard just to save battery life. And then I just launch the Mac's iSync program, tell it to sync, and it automatically updates my calendar and my contact information from my phone to my Mac. So if I'm with a client and I make an appointment, I can enter it on my phone's calendar, or if I have to change their address or whatever, I can do it on my phone, and then it'll sync into the Mac, or if I schedule on the Mac, it downloads into my phone, so I have a portable calendar, and it does it all wirelessly, which for me, someone who always loses cables, except for the power cable for the GPS receiver I never did have to lose, that wireless syncing ability is really, really neat. So as a synchronization mechanism, Bluetooth's fantastic as well.
And so is that working with iSync, or do you have to get some other application?
I actually got it to work with iSync. The Nokia phones will work with iSync, but there's a plugin you have to install. Out of the box, only the older Symbian phones work, but there's a plugin that I found which makes most of the Series 3 phones work. You just install the plugin, and it works through iSync, which is fantastic.
And on the PC, you use PC Suite, I'm assuming?
PC Suite on the PC, which is, the only way to do it, as far as I know, for that kind of synchronization.
Cool. Well, Dennis, talk about Bluetooth. What's your experience with Bluetooth? What have you used? How does your phone work with it? And does MobileSpeak do okay with Bluetooth?
Yeah, well, we were talking about this the other day, and I was telling you that I was having a problem getting this one headset to pair with my phone, but I got it this morning. I don't know what I must have had my nose pointed in the right direction or something. But, I have this one headset that I tried a bunch of times to get it to pair, and it wouldn't pair. And finally this morning I just thought, well, there's no technical reason why this won't pair. So I tried to pair it again, and the second time through it said enter the code, and I did, and it paired, and it works fine.
Wow.
And I, I've tried that, and I've also paired it with my Mac. This particular phone has an integrated GPS receiver, so I didn't have to pair it with a external GPS receiver.
And you wanted to talk about Wayfinder with that?
Yeah, and I'm using using right now a demo version of Wayfinder, and Wayfinder is really, really pretty neat. It will, it lets you know where you finds you on the map and lets you know where you are, and in certain settings will give you the direction you're going and what crossings you're coming to, along with a lot of other information such as what places are in the area. If there's a Starbucks or whatever, it'll tell you Starbucks, such and such degrees, left or right, east or west or north or south, depending on what direction you're going. And it has some good search functionality. And one of the search things that I had never seen in an application until this one was a category to search for Wi-Fi locations. So potentially it'll find me all these free Wi-Fi hotspots.
Wow.
But I like it with that. And with the Bluetooth headset, it's even better because, you don't have to, either have the phone right up to your head or anything like that. You can just have the receiver in your ear and make it work that way. The only thing I haven't been able to get to happen is to put the receiver in the dog's ear and let it, you know, let it tell him where we want to stop.
Yeah, well, even if it did, the dog probably would say, food, food. Yeah, he probably wouldn't respond unless you fed him first. I don't know how Walker does. How does Walker do that, Holly?
Would he stop if the GPS told him to?
Yeah.
No.
No, nope, nope.
Nope.
Okay, folks, we have a consensus. Guide dogs are very dependent on food, and they know how to get what they want.
You know, I had when I got my first guide dog, we walked through this little shopping strip mall thing, and it used to stop at the liquor store. This was on class while training. Every time it would stop before the liquor store. And the trainer came up to me and promised, she swore that she never stopped at that store to train the dog to stop there. But every time, the dog would always get to the door of that liquor store and sit down.
Well, it used to be funny because Larry Scootcon on the Blind Cool Tech podcast used to pass a certain store, and if Larry didn't go by, Jake, his guide dog, would try to go to that store. And Larry's like, no, Jake, we're going this way today. This way. You know, it's like, we're not going to the coffee shop today or the cafe, wherever. You know, we're not going to go.
I had a weird experience with Walker one time. We were walking down this strip mall, and I wasn't entirely sure where I was going. My cousin was giving me directions. And Walker suddenly stops and turns, and I think, oh, he's following my cousin, and we're turning into the store. And my cousin keeps going. He's like, oh, he's trying to go into Petco.
He knows what he's looking for.
It was funny. Yeah.
Well, Dennis has to be careful with his guide dog, though, because we never know whether it's Dennis or the dog that wants to go in the store.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
about it.
And we'll ask Miss Carol about that one day on a podcast and see what she says. But as far as Bluetooth on Windows Mobile, it's great. You have the normal Bluetooth stacks, which are the programs that run Bluetooth. We're using Bluetooth 2.0 on the phone I have. And I've actually used a stowaway Bluetooth keyboard. I've used several Bluetooth headsets. They all work wonderfully. And I am unique, I guess, among our panel because I've used and still do use. Matter of fact, when I do text messaging, sometimes you'll see grade 2 Braille errors because I do have a Braille Connect 24. And I use that for, you know, all my word processing or spreadsheets or for my text messaging, as I said, or just to be silent. You know, I can sit in a McDonald's or a Crystal somewhere where they have a wireless and just silently browse the web or check email because even Windows Mobile will let you use IMAP, which is what I'm using here. I don't use POP3. I use IMAP. Windows Mobile will do either one. It'll also do Exchange if you have that. And so it's pretty cool. You can do it silently with Braille and no speech.
Do all the McDonald's in the States now have Wi-Fi?
I don't know if all of them do, but all of them in the Birmingham area do. I can tell you that. I assume that's pretty standard. I think it's Wayport.
Holly, do they have them in your area?
I honestly don't know. I've never taken my Mac over to find out.
Well,
I have to do that.
There you go.
Yeah, they have them here. The problem is if I go to McDonald's, I'm usually eating something, which is probably a bad thing, and so then my hands are covered in grease or slime, and I don't
want to
use
That's why I've never tried either.
And the tables are always so messy, I wouldn't really want to put my device down.
That's true.
You know, but I guess if I could figure out how to get grease off the screen, I don't know.
Just bring a mat and put it down.
Yeah, Matt, I guess. Well, my fear is the fan will suck that up and it'll smell like McDonald's for the next, you know, 3 years on them.
That's
McDonald's plan, because then that's free advertising for them.
That's right.
Exactly right. It's free advertising. Uh-huh. We do have it, though. I've seen that Wayport or Wayward or whatever the heck it's called.
Wayport.
Yeah, I've seen that option. I've never actually... I usually find it just as they put my order up, so I never really get to play around with it.
Well, what they don't tell you is with Wayport, you've usually got to pay $20 a year, $30 a year or so. For an account. You better be careful with these hotspots.
The ones in California were using T-Mobile.
Well, okay, but here they don't use T-Mobile. They use Wayport or I can't remember what all else. Usually they want you to pay for it. I think Starbucks does too, but you got to be careful, and the only way you can find out is to log on to the wireless network. In other words, try, and it'll come up and say, thanks for logging on. Do you want to pay such and such? Nope. Okay. Click. You're off the network. But a lot of places do have free Wi-Fi, and I crack up every time I go somewhere and I see Linksys. I'm like, everywhere I go, I see Linksys. And usually, the Linksys routers, I don't want to say Linksyses, but that doesn't sound right, Linksyses, are all unsecured. So you just Linksys, oh boy, and you log in. But people are beginning to get wise, and they're beginning to put in these numbers, you know, the WEP keys or WPA keys, and it's beginning to not be too fun, because used to, you know, nobody had security. You just logged in, hey. And but now it's pretty much, you know, secure, but you can still find them occasionally. I use my Bluetooth phone. Actually, I put the phone in my pocket, make sure the Braille display is connected, and I use it to read scripture when it's my turn to read the opening scriptures Sunday morning in church. And people walk up to me, how are you doing that? You've got this little tiny Braille device that you're reading from. How do you do that? And I'm like, well, my phone is in my pocket, and it's connected via short-range wireless, which is Bluetooth. Now, the funniest thing in the world, last year during Christmas, we went caroling. A group of about 20 people, we caroled around the neighborhood. And Mr. Technology here had his phone in his pants pocket, Bluetooth connected, and the Braille display in his hand. So I was able to stand there and read the hymns as we sang them, or the carols as we sang them, and nobody knew the difference. It was so cool. So I'm sure you could do that with Talks and Mobile Speak for Symbian as well. One thing I want to do, because we're about to have to start winding it up here because we've been here almost an hour, I want to discuss licensing, and then we'll let each one of you have a little bit of a finish up what you want to say and everything. And Holly, tell us about the LG. I don't think you have to deal with much licensing. What do these phones cost, and how do you go about obtaining them? Do you just get them at the store and they program them for you? Do you use a SIM card? How does that work?
Yeah, with Verizon, they don't have SIM cards, so you get them at the store. They program them for you. You can buy them online. Mm-hmm. I think that Envia, and of course, me being so prepared, I didn't research prices, but I think with a 2-year contract, the Envy is $149.
Okay.
And then I think there's a $50 rebate, or it might be $199 with the $50 rebate, so it'll be $149. But I think that's right. I want to say that's right. And then some stores will give other discounts as well. So they're not extremely expensive when you sign up for a contract.
Okay.
What's that?
Who knows? We're not going to ask. Why don't you go ahead?
I was wondering the same thing.
I'm not going to ask what it is. It's not a phone, and it's not a screen reader, so I don't want to know. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's here, it can stay outside. I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't know. It sounds like it might be coming in, so
I have the door locked.
It is getting closer.
It'll have to break in here. I don't know. And you can't edit that out either because we were talking, so you folks are going to get to hear that wonderful noise.
It's probably it's a feature of Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
No, it's not a feature of Windows Mobile.
It didn't like my discussion of LG, and so it tried to
either that or it's one of your guide dogs growling because it's time to eat. you might want to check on those, but no, seriously, I
been lucky that the birds haven't decided to talk.
Oh, I can't believe they haven't stepped in and added their opinion and tell us what cell phones they use that you don't know about. But anyway, I would say that with Mobile Speak Pocket, it used to cost somewhere around $600, and somebody just told me recently that they've lowered the price down to $295 on Mobile Speak Pocket. Now, I have not confirmed that, cannot and will not confirm that. If you can, great. I'd like to hear about it, but I have not confirmed that. When I bought it, it was still up in the $600 range, and now they did change the licensing structure in this new version of Mobile Speak. So Mobile Speak Pocket and Mobile Speak Smartphone are no longer, and the smartphone is $295, by the way, Pocket and smartphone are no longer tied to your phone. They are tied to a unique ID that you are given by Code Factory, the people who make Mobile Speak, all three flavors. So if you buy a new Pocket PC or smartphone, you can transfer your license with no fee because you just enter your personal ID and your license will be adjusted for that particular phone. Now, extra voices do cost, I think it's $99 per voice. So if you want an extra voice, I use the DeckTalk voice because I have to. I figure the phone's slow enough with that. I can't imagine what it would be with one of the high-quality human-sounding voices, but I'm not going to be paying for a voice anytime soon. I'm waiting to get a new phone. My upgrade comes in December, so... Dennis, what about the licensing for MobileSpeak Symbian?
For MobileSpeak Symbian, I'm not sure what the cost is right now. I've had my copy, well, I've had a copy for a while. I just switched it to this phone, so I have to pay for an upgrade, and I believe it's going to cost me around $100 to pay for an upgrade to switch it to this phone. I believe originally it was around $300.
Mm-hmm. So it is tied to the phone then?
Yeah, it is tied to the phone at this point.
Okay. And Steve, what about Talks?
Talks is a pain in the neck, or any other area you might wish to imagine. You buy a license, and if you want to transfer that license to another phone, it's a $99 transfer fee. I think they give you a break if you lose your phone or it gets stolen or something. If you have documentation to back that up, you can't just call them and say, my phone was stolen. And you have to transfer it, besides the $99.99 or $99 fee, whatever it is, you have to give them the old serial number, and you have to give them the IMEI of the new phone. And the problem with that is, if you want to sell your phone and buy a new one, a lot of people sell the old one first, get the cash, and use that cash toward the new one. That's what I would do. But you can't, because you need the new number. So what you have to do is... have the new phone there, otherwise you can't do the transfer. I guess you could still do it, you just won't have Talks until you get you won't be able to transfer it until you get the new one. That having been said, the old Talks still works. It doesn't deactivate the old Talks. I think, you know, in good faith, you're supposed to delete it off the old phone, but I know of a lot of folks who don't do that, and who don't feel they have to do that since they're paying for an additional license, especially if they're still holding on to the phone. I don't know about the legal ramifications of that, but there is no checking mechanism to make sure that you have in fact deactivated the thing off the old unit. I really like the new way that MobileSpeak is handling it, this new, what do they call it, user center licensing, or yeah, whatever they call that. Mm-hmm. I really like that. I like it because you have the freedom to change phones. For me, if I were getting the N82 and I had the money to do it, what I would have to also factor in is the additional $100 to transfer a program that I've already paid for. And I really disagree with that. I mean, you know,
How much does it cost if you're buying a new license?
I think it's like $295. It was down as cheap as $240, but I think it's went back up now to around $300, I think. So, I mean, it's about a third, and for a program that I already own, just seems ridiculous. I would even pay like a $10 fee, but there's really no reason for it. I mean, there should be some way to deactivate it and activate it on the new one. Every, you know, the Code Factory folks have done it on the Windows Mobile side. Other screen access products are doing it. Heck, Windows is even doing it. So, I mean, there's precedent for it, and it just seems that they make more money by not doing it. The interesting thing I do find, though, is that MobileSpeak doesn't have the user center licensing thing on the Symbian versions, and I don't know why.
Don't.
Yeah, it just strikes me as odd. They're a company who seems to embrace this idea of, you know, users should be able to transfer their licenses, and they've implemented it on the Windows Mobile and the Pocket PC versions, but not on the Symbian version that they also make. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe
what
there's
about
some technical
the subsidized
detail.
Version through AT&T? I know they've subsidized it through AT&T where it's $90. Are those transferable as well?
Yeah, you can transfer to another phone.
Okay.
Yeah, and AT&T has a list of smartphones and pocket PCs that if you buy the phone and you want to get MobileSpeak through them, it's $89, I think is what it is, and a lot of people are taking advantage of that. I don't understand the licensing thing either because apparently it's a Symbian thing or I don't know. But one thing I did want to mention here before we close and I get everybody to give their contact information is all of these operating systems, except the LG, and I'll ask Holly about that, have magnification. Now, we're all totally blind, at least I think all four of us are. And we don't use magnification. However, Talks has Zooms, and MobileSpeak has MobileSpeak Magnifier. And I believe, Dennis, that is available for all three platforms.
Right, all three flavors.
Yep, Symbian, smartphone, and Pocket PC. So there is a magnifier option. Can be disabled or enabled. I'm not sure. Does MobileSpeak charge any extra for the magnifier?
I think they do for the Symbian.
Okay, well, I know
it's not much.
Pocket PC and smartphone, it's part of the operating system if you want it. In other words, they give you the option to install it or not. How about Talks, Steve? How about Zooms?
I was Googling it real quick to see how much more. Yes, they do charge for it, and it's kind of interesting because the demo, of course, it's enabled, and there's a tab dealing with all the Zoom functions, and when you actually register it, the tab vanishes, and I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah,
I
noticed that.
Yeah, that's why. If you don't pay for it, you don't get it. It is an extra charge, and I don't know. I suppose a nuanced dealer would really know this, but the process for adding it is a little bit weird. If you want to add it, you have to pay extra, but then again, you got to go through the whole IMEI stuff, and I don't know what happens if you transfer it. I can't imagine they charge $99 twice once to charge.
Surely
Talks
not.
That, but the fact that they charge it once just kind of scares me a little bit.
Well,
part
of the reason that they charge it is because, the old methods of the way they used to license the speech engine. When you paid for that transfer, it paid for another user license of the speech engine, or that's what they used to tell me anyway.
Wow, seems odd to me that we can have it in Pocket PC and smartphone, and we can't have it in Symbian. But that's just my opinion. How about magnification on the LG? Do you know anything about that, Holly, or do they have anything?
I'm not sure. I was just looking through the menus just now, and there was something about dial fonts.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes. I honestly don't. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That's, I could find out, but
that's fine. If you do find out, let us know. And that leads us into our final thing here. And I'm going to start with each one of you and tell us how we can get in touch with you. In other words, tell the listeners how they can contact you. And, whatever information you're comfortable giving out, give us some contact information for our listeners. I'll start with Dennis, and we'll go around to Holly and then Steve, and then I'll end up.
Okay. Again, my name is Dennis Bartlett. My email address is dennis.bartlett@rogers.com. It's dennis.bartlett. @rogers.com, and you can contact me there. You can contact me via Skype, and the Skype address is DS Bartlett, DSBARTLETT, and that's about it. The basic ways you can contact me. You can also check out the other stuff that I'm doing by checking out the podcasts at frontiercomputing.on.ca. So,
and you're on Twitter as well, aren't you?
I'm on Twitter as well. You can follow DS Bartlett.
Okay. All right, Holly?
Okay. My email address, if you guys want to contact me, is holly@darciaandholly.com, all one word. The podcasts... the Darcy and Holly Show is at www.darcyandholly.com. And the Screenless Switchers is at www.screenlessswitchers.com. And as we mentioned before, if people want more information about the LG phones, you can either email me, or I did a review of the Envy that's in at the Darcy and Holly Show website.
All right. And do you have Twitter? You obviously do.
Yeah, Twitter. You can follow DHS Holly.
I'm surprised at some of the people following me, but anyway, Steve?
Well, I can be emailed or contacted by phone or just about in any messaging thing. I'm way too addicted to it. Email, I'll give you two of them, one that's easy and one that's hard. The one that you see me on all the mailing lists with is my personal account, steve@sawson.com. I'll spell that because no one will ever get it. Steve at S like Sam, A W, C like Charlie, Z like Zebra, Y like Yellow, N like November.com, and or Steve at ATMaine.com, the name of my company, AT as in Apple, Tom, and then Maine like the state, MAINE.com. It's probably a lot easier to write. Either way, they both come to the same place. I'm on Twitter, Steve of Maine, as in the state. It just seemed like a cool name, and I was sick of writing my own last name, so it just kind of worked. And if you are in any other messaging service, if you look for my last name, probably I'll be the only match because it's so unique. So, you know, any way you can find me, it works fine with me.
All right. And if you want to get in touch with me, I am at jack728, that's J-A-C-K, 728 at gmail.com, www.shanejackson.net, but I warn you, that one's under construction. That's where all of my files are stored. If you want to do the blog thing, you go to Blind World Blog, one word, blindworldblog.blogspot.com. That's a blogger address, so most of you are familiar with that. Now, there are other things on there besides the podcast, because I do separate the blog from the podcast. However, although I blog about a lot of other things besides the podcast, all the podcast feeds will be available up there. In other words, you'll be able to click and have them go up there. So just check out Blind World Blog at the blogspot.com domain. And I'm on Skype at Kadal. That's C as in Charlie, A, D as in dog, A, L as in Lima, Kadal 728. That's a Celtic name, by the way. Kadal 728. And I'm on Twitter at Jack728. So that's how you can get in touch with me. And I am the owner and chief host of the Blind World blog and podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. I'll thank these three people for coming on today, volunteering their time, and helping me with this discussion. Dennis, thanks very much.
Thanks, Shane. It's always a pleasure to get on and do these things.
I really appreciate you taking the time. Holly, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today. And Steve, thank you, sir.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Outstanding. And you all take care, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Partner hung up. Take care.
Hi, this is Jamie Pauls with another Access Watch review. I have recently been playing with VIP MUD from GMA Games. MUD stands for Multi-User Dungeon. MUDs are similar to text adventure games, except that they are played on the internet and often involve gameplay with other people. Although many MUDs involve magic and other Dungeons & Dragons elements, not all do, and the VIP MUD documentation gives some resources for finding MUDs. It goes without saying that VIP MUD is designed for visually impaired users, as are all GMA games. Visit gmagames.com for a 30-day demo of this $30 game. Incidentally, the game can be played indefinitely for free, albeit with some options missing. A screen reader is not required, but you can certainly use your screen reader of choice while working in VIP MUD. Come visit us at www.accesswatch.info and check out our new tutorial bundle while you're there. Visit our blog at accesswatch.blogspot.com or subscribe to the blog at feeds.feedburner.com/accesswatch. Have a great week.
Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live.
Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Let's jump right into it and welcome Mike and the gang from Saratech. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Howdy.
Hi.
Howdy. Sorry. Sorry about all the issues tonight.
So we have.
Oh man, we've just been having a great time, dude. We're good.
Oh, good. So
we have Mike Calvo, which many of you know, and we have Matt Campbell, and we also have Ricky Inger on. That will,
hello, everybody.
She will be new to some of you, so welcome all.
She's the Saratech booth babe. She's the
very nice.
She's the Saratech booth babe. She
that would be my official title.
No, she's actually Ricky joined our team last year in September, and she has just become invaluable in many respects. We're actually about to slap a title on her forehead sometime soon. It's just that, you know, right now if you put a title on her, it would probably be taller than she is, not because she's short, but she just does so many different things in the company. She's an invaluable resource to us. So, you know, public acknowledgement. She's just awesome.
Well, thank you. And I couldn't ask to work for a better company. It's been indescribable.
Oh, shush. It's getting deep now, Ricky. Stop. Sorry, guys. We've just been kind of hanging out and, you know, just being ourselves. So, you know, there's no posturing here on Main Menu tonight. So.
Well, that's all right. We kind of like things to be as straightforward as possible anyhow.
Well, yeah, a little more organized generally, but
little
chaos doesn't hurt now and then.
Exactly. All right. So,
By the way, I'm sorry. You go ahead. We've got. I guess we either have some latency, or I'm just like being a bull in a china closet. So, go for it, Daryl. I apologize.
I was just going to say, we'd talked before the before coming on the air here, and you posted a wonderful little tribute to the Saratech blog, and so I thought would you, Mike, or any of the rest of you like to say a few words about the recent passing away of Clarence Whaley from GW Micro?
Yeah, absolutely. My heart, all of our hearts go out to Clarence's family and the folks at GW. Clarence was truly an irreplaceable person. And it's not, you know, oh, we speak kindly of those who have passed. This guy was just a person who brought sunshine to everybody all the time. In the years that I knew him, I can honestly say the few times that we've interacted professionally, the guy has just always been an absolute gem. He was a wonderful person. He was an encouragement to me when I got my guide dog. He spent time with me explaining to me what it was all about. As I said in the blog post, all the folks at GW Micro were so kind to us at Saratech when we were first the new guys on the block, and we would go to the shows and we would have like a laptop and we would have the table and that's it. And, you know, we didn't even have a sign, and these guys were just like, hey, you know, we love what you're doing, and they would always come over and say hi, and Dan and Doug, and it was just a wonderful experience. My heart goes out to all you guys, man. We're grieving with you. And he's a wonderful man to know, and he is truly going to be missed. You know, I could sit here and talk for the next couple of hours, but enough said, I guess. You know, he was a wonderful person, and our prayers and our prayers are with his family at this time.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that. Well, we know there's a big contest going on because it's all over mainstream and interactive. Why don't we start there?
Sure, our summer sizzle. actually, the summer sizzle, you know, it's funny. Marlena is the one who I actually came up with the name of your accessible digital lifestyle makeover. And being the dweeb that I am, she says, you know, that just doesn't work in radio, Calvo. So we talked about it, and I said, you know, it's hot. It's summer. It's the summer sizzle. She goes, yeah, there you go. Okay, I was joking, and I was being sarcastic. And she says, but that'll work. And actually, it's caught on. We have gotten quite a bit quite a number of registrations. We are giving away what we call an entire accessible digital lifestyle makeover. You know, Jeff and Daryl, that we've been pushing the accessible digital lifestyle this year, and that is really something that us as blind folks aren't used to, is the ability to compute on the go and anywhere without so much as carrying a computer. We started out the year, of course, by offering SA2Go, which is our award-winning web-based screen reader, absolutely free. And stay tuned. We're about to make some earth-shaking announcements coming very soon, this summer, actually. But what we're doing is we are also providing this. The Stuff in the Summer Sizzle contest will be an EEE PC from Asus, which is a very small form factor PC. It's about the size of a paperback book. It's got our technology embedded on it. The person will also receive a Victor Stream from Humanware. They will receive, of course, a 48-month membership to our software as a service package. They'll receive a Zenstone, and I know I'm forgetting something. Oh, and they will receive any screen reader of their choice for their mobile device from our friends at Code Factory. So it is a package that's worth well over $2,000. And like I said, the response has been enormous. It's really been good, and we do intend to share some of the information that we collect from the contest, because, of course, as you can imagine, if you go in and you fill in the survey, we get a lot of information that we believe is important to the industry at large. And while we're not going to put all of it out there, of course, because we are concerned about people's privacy and whatnot, we are going to give what we believe, according to the people that were kind enough to submit their surveys, what we see the blindness consumer picture being. I think that this is one of the first times that we as blind consumers have been kind of surveyed to see where we stand, not as workers, not as students, but just as blind consumers that use electronics.
Well, that's a great idea, and certainly an easy way to get people on board with that survey as well, and to get those statistics in from the, you know, as you said, from the field, from the people on the ground, rather than from the agencies and companies and so on and so forth. Would you like to remind everybody about how they can link directly to the contest if they're listening?
Yeah, you know, that's important too, because I almost forgot. Well, first of all, you can go to www.cerotech.com and click on the Summer Sizzle Contest link on the front page. But also, for those of you that have blogs, for those of you that have email lists or newsletters or whatever, there's also a way that you can help us promote this contest by creating your own link. We will generate the HTML for you, and you can just take that information and paste it into any HTML email or any, you know, your podcast RSS feed or your blog or any of that stuff, and promote the contest for us. Yes, of course, it's going to drive traffic to us, but also the information that we're gathering during this contest, I think, is going to be important to us as a community to really know where we stand. And this is not a Cerotech. This is not only for us to know what's going on, but we really want the community to know, because I think that a lot of people are going to be very surprised at how many people are really out there living that digital lifestyle.
Yes, indeed, I think so too. It will be very good to see the ultimate number of responses garnered from the contest as well. Of course, everyone, you can also, we have an announcement on the front page over at acbradio.org. that links to the contest as well for ACB Radio listeners. So tell us a little bit about System Access 3.0 and all of the new capabilities surrounding that major revision.
Well, System Access 3.0 is going to be first and foremost optimized for better delivery across the internet. The current System Access to Go product that's on the market and that's in distribution right now, that's in production, is still kind of a subset of what we install onto the PC. We are going to become more of a web-centric application, meaning that it's going to be things like updates are going to be invisible to people. We're no longer going to really have an update, per se. It'll just happen in the background. We're going to unify, ultimately, we're going to unify all of our different remote access products and everything. So it'll truly be a software as a service or software online type of offering where with one username or one account number and PIN, if you have, for example, an access to Remote Incident Manager, if you have a Serotec account, an SA to Go account, an SA Mobile account, all these different things that we offer, they'll all be available to you, very similar to like a passport from MSN or from Yahoo or what have you, or from Google.
Google account.
Yeah, you know, it really, the whole goal here is to really minimize the footprint. We are literally shrinking our product by almost 75%. And that is going to also allow folks in developing countries with lower bandwidth with lower bandwidth to actually be able to enjoy SA to Go using dial-up or what have you. So the size is probably going to get, right now it's what, Matt, about 7 or 8 megs, something like that?
About 7.
Yeah, and it's going to go down to like under 2. So that is really the first amazing thing that's happening. I don't know if this is public knowledge, but I'll make it public knowledge. When you see Serotec increase its number, meaning when we went from 1.0 of System Access to 2.0 and now we're going to 3.0, we are not taking old code and bolting on new features. We are rewriting the thing from the ground up. Okay, and that's something that up to this point has been unheard of in our market.
The reason for that is
the product.
Yeah, I was just wondering why you do that. It would seem like there would be a lot of, you know, rework done in that in that respect.
I'll answer the first half from just kind of from a quality assurance line, and then let Matt answer it from a development side as well. From a quality assurance side, I think that you know the more you do something, the better you do it. There's no such thing as perfection, especially in software. So I think that I have a very unique situation with a programmer that develops on so many different platforms and is continuously, I mean, this guy studies software, you know, programming languages when he's on his off time, which is very little. And so, you know, he's constantly out there pushing the envelope of what we can do with our technology. And I just think that it's, you know, he just doesn't like looking at, you know, putting, I guess, you know, new wine and old skins. You know, it's not something that we've basically I'm sorry, my machine is talking to me here. We are, you know, we've just decided that, hey, you know, as long as we can continue to do it, we're going to rewrite when we have a major number release like this and, you know, try and do it better the next time. And I think that we've been able to accomplish that with 1.0. We did some pretty cool stuff. 2.0, the 2.0 cycle saw things like SA to Go come to fruition. Now we're going to take that and we're going to take that to the next level with Braille and things like that, which I'll discuss after Matt finishes off what I've just said, I guess.
The specific reason to do a rewrite for 3.0 is in order to help us reduce the total size of the package, but I would say it's not so much a matter of doing a rewrite for every major version number. It's more that we do a major version number for every rewrite. And so far, there's been two rewrites.
That's a good point. We've really kind of, and those of you guys that are our customers,
if you watch the 2.3 versions.
Yeah, and if you watch the way that we're continuously doing updates, it's one of those things where, we speed through, and then the moment we come up with something, in this particular case, we've just gone from being a Python-based product to we've moved into Lua, which is a much smaller footprint. It's a much more robust platform, be it not as maybe as developed or supported from a community perspective as Python. It's a very portable language that's very slick and quick. And again, because we use higher level languages than C and C++, unlike the other guys, it allows us to really kind of turn on a dime and say, this looks like a very interesting language to us. Let's look at it, and we can turn around and in less than a year do a complete rewrite. And we also don't carry the baggage of legacy stuff that all the other AT vendors carry. We've pride ourselves on working with the hottest, newest, latest, innovative products. We make it very economical for our consumer to stay caught up to date and paying without breaking the bank with maintenance fees by making it a flat monthly service that they just don't. All they do is pay us $24.95 a month, and they don't have to worry about anything else. If there's a new version of Adobe Acrobat, we're going to work with it. If there's a new version of IE, we're going to work with it. If there's a new version of Word, we're going to work with it. You can pick up PC Magazine and see the top 25 programs and the ones that pertain to blind people that blind people want to use. We're going to work with them, and that's what we've dedicated ourselves to doing. We're dedicated to giving people full life access with speech that may or may not include their job, but people don't just live at work. They also live and they play and they do all these different things, that have nothing to do with work.
A couple of technical notes. First, to avoid starting a flame war about Lua versus Python, I don't think it's really fair to say that Lua is a more robust platform than Python, but it certainly is smaller. It lends itself better to quick startup times, and in some regards more portable. Also in the interest of accuracy, large portions of version 2.0 were written in Lua as well, but 3.0 we're going all out Lua on the client side at least.
Matt is actually speaking at the Lua Developers Conference this summer being held in Washington, D.C.
Wow,
and,
that's
we are really
impressive.
Yeah, he's. Well, we're really
it's a small deal, so they didn't have a high bar for letting me in. But.
we're really focusing on.
But it's not just
really
blind people.
No,
yeah, well, that's the point that I'm making is that we are really working. Our goal is to eventually see the elimination of the AT industry as it is today. Great if it metamorphoses into something else, but we believe that adaptive technology, and Forrester backs this up with their research, could benefit the entire world of computing. So we're doing our very best to reach out to the mainstream and educate them as to what we're looking for in the tools, what we're looking for. And it doesn't just go to Microsoft. It goes beyond that to the open source community. Matt is very active. We're active in giving stuff to people like NVDA for research because we believe that the NVDA product, although I don't know if it's robust enough for people to use on the job right now, it's a great research tool. What Mick is doing and his team and with their relationship with Firefox is just something that we as a company embrace because we want to encourage the mainstream to look at what we're doing, to get involved, and to see that the blindness community does mean revenue. We're not just looking for a handout. We're not just looking for government subsidies. If technology is adequately priced for us as blind people, we are going to buy it. And we've been a 7-year-old company that has more than paid its bills, and been able to do so, and I don't believe that we've done that because of all the government subsidies we've received, nor all the government sales that we've made. Now, after 7 years of business, are we now starting to enjoy some government sales, and that's something that Ricky is very active in, is marketing to the government and to training centers and things of that nature. But prior to that, it's you guys, people that are listening to this broadcast, that have kept this company afloat. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're a small, insignificant market. That's just a bunch of malarkey, for lack of a better term.
Wow. So do you see... you know, as government sales, you know, as government accounts increase, do you see this consumer orientation changing at all?
No. As a matter of fact, what we're trying to encourage government to saying is, listen, we'll sell them the car, teach them how to drive it, because the reality is that the government is about to get slam dunked with 5 million baby boomers in the next 10 years, and a third of those people are going to be blind, according to research, or legally so. So the government isn't going to be able to pay $1,100, $900 for a screen reader for people, and pay for 40 or 50 hours of training. They're having enough trouble doing that right now for the current number of people that are on board. You know, let alone millions of baby boomers coming into the market. Not to mention the fact,
considering the shape the economy is in.
That's right. Not to mention the fact that boomers aren't going to sit in an institutional setting for 40 hours. We need to be able to do not only more for less, but more with less. And that's why our remote training products are experiencing the extremely high growth. We're in at least half the country right now with our remote incident manager product and our remote access product. Ohio State University just deployed it on their campus as well. So there's a lot going on with remote training and with consumer support, just to give people life, you know, life access. It's not just about rehabilitation. Doesn't just include sending people to work anymore. It also includes teaching them how to live an independent life, and that's where we're going to continue to make accessibility financially within reach of everybody. And when we can't sell it to them, hey, we'll give it to them. I mean, that's fine.
Okay, we're getting a couple of questions.
Sure.
So, do we want to Matt? Did you have anything else to say about 3.0 on the technical side before we move on?
No, but I think we better get into Braille because we are coming up on 10 minutes left.
Oh my goodness!
Well, the main thing I'll say about Braille.
Go ahead. Let's go ahead. I'm sorry. There's a little bit of a delay here. Let's go ahead and talk about Braille.
The main thing I'll say about Braille is that we are supporting the Optilec BC640. That is the only Braille display that we're going to be supporting out of the box. Now, before you guys turn off your computers in disgust, let me explain why. The Optilec BC640 is the only device of its kind that you can walk up to a computer, plug it in, and that computer will recognize it for what it is without you installing any drivers whatsoever. Much like our SA2Go product or anything that we offer at Cerotech that requires no installation, no drivers ever, this is the first product of its kind that really embraces what we consider to be the accessible digital lifestyle for people on the go that are doing mobile computing. So now, with this one Braille display, you can plug it in. It's got a built-in sound card. It's got a built-in Bluetooth, so you can hook it up.
The sound is part of the optional feature pack.
Yeah. And you can plug all these things into the product, and you can literally have a workstation. It's got a built-in CD-ROM type of area where we can install system access, and just by pushing a button, you can launch system access from the device, and it will run on the computer, use the BC640 as its sound card and as its Braille display, even if the machine doesn't have speakers or necessarily have a sound card built into it. We encourage other manufacturers of Braille displays to embrace this technology. This isn't The BC640 folks are not doing this in a vacuum. They're simply taking advantage of open standards, and we are really pushing for other vendors to do the same. With the moment that we see that happening, we will be more than happy to support it. But up to this point, the only folks that have done this and have really cared about the digital lifestyle and the needs of the mobile consumer is the BC640 up to this point. Now, granted, there are products like the Braille Connect and all that, and we're hoping that BOM will step up. We're hoping that Handytech will step up and others and make their mobile devices also plug and play. So that's a pretty, to call it what it is, it's a pretty ballsy move, but we're really tired of seeing blind folks spend thousands of dollars on a Braille display and not be able to take it anywhere but to one computer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we have a couple of questions here. We'll try to get to what we can. First one is, does System Access currently, or will System Access 3.0 support XML 2.0 standards, such as apparently the folks over at the makers of FTP ServView say, well, we're using XML 2.0 and in our user interface, and as far as we know, there are no screen readers that support that.
I suspect that they mean XAML 2.0.
XAML, okay.
Which is tied to the Windows Presentation Foundation, which uses UI automation. And I'm not exactly sure where on our timeline UI automation support is, but let me just go out on a limb and say probably later this summer.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at UI automation for things, and ARIA as well for things like IE8 and also for Firefox support, so which will be coming out later this summer as well. So another thing from 3.0. 3.0's initial release is going to be smaller Braille and a couple of other little goodies, but then you'll immediately see within probably the first 45 days you'll see a 3.1 come out. Well, actually you won't, because it'll be done in the background, but you know, it'll come out very soon.
Wonderful. Okay, so I think that's great, and I understand the concept of having automatic spontaneous updates. Although I assume they'll continue to get version numbers, and there'll be announcements posted and all that good stuff, so that people will know what's.
Oh yeah, they'll
going
be available.
On. Right.
They'll be. Yeah. Yeah, they'll just be seamless, and you'll just not really know that they happened. You know, meaning you won't be delayed. Like right now, the software just kind of updates itself and stops everything you're doing and updates itself. It won't happen anymore that way. It'll just totally happen in the background.
Will there be the ability to modify that behavior?
No. It'll just be so seamless. It'll actually be so seamless that. Generally, if we push an update out to the public, we really like everybody. It's not an option. We like everybody to be on the same page. It helps us, because a lot of our updates are, as you can see from our blog, or maintenance updates, where we fix this little bugaboo or that little bugaboo, and we don't want people three or four versions behind. There's no need for that. We generally maintain our backwards compatibility. If a product has kind of overstayed its welcome as far as for supporting, for example, IE6, we're moving out of IE6 and we're starting to do only IE7, and we will take IE6 off the roadmap entirely and not care anymore about it once IE8 is fully out. And that's just the way we decide to run our business model. That may not sit right with some folks, and we're sorry, but we don't really believe that, you know, with our update model, we need to necessarily support legacy after legacy after legacy. It just makes for bad consumer relations.
There could be definitely some strengths to that approach. And one more question that we got from a listener here on Windows Live Messenger. This may be more appropriate for Ricky. He says that he's been trying to reach somebody over in sales for a while. He'd like to talk to someone, and he's wondering if there's been, you know, if there's been some difficulties or. You know, in getting back to people and what's going on in that area.
As far as I know, there really haven't been any difficulties in reaching people necessarily. We all are preparing for the upcoming conventions, which I hope you all will come and see us at our booth. We'll be at the ACB convention July 5th through 10th. I am in enterprise sales, and we do have a couple of people who do individual sales, so I primarily handle the remote incident manager, site licenses for government agencies and things like that. And there are, again, individual sales representatives who handle purchases of system access or subscriptions to the system access mobile network. And our phone system has changed a little bit in that you will now hear some new menus with options. We don't have one of those things that says, please listen carefully because our options have changed or whatever, but you will definitely now hear options to press 1 for, you know, individual sales or 2 for enterprise and things like that. And you can also reach us by email at sales@saratech.com. So apologies for any delay in getting back to anyone, but do continue to try and get in touch, and we'll do whatever we can for you.
Absolutely. We want your money now.
So, we also want you to be a satisfied customer.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, satisfied customer.
Right,
but pay us, please.
Did.
No, we are quite candidly, we are experiencing a bit of growing pains, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, I'm a person who prefers to be transparent about many things, and that's one of them, is that we have experienced a very high degree of growth in the last 18 months, and it's only getting better. So we are growing, we're adding new staff, adding more phone capacity, adding more servers. So things are actually doing very well for us, and we want to thank you, each and every one of you that are our customers that are listening personally, and those of you who have not jumped in the pool yet to see how it feels. Come on, man, it's good in here. It's really awesome.
Wonderful.
It's got to be better than 110 here.
Oh, are you kidding? It's like 113 here.
Yeah.
In Phoenix. Furnace, I should say.
Speaking of pools.
Please do come visit us at the shows, and of course, sign up for the contest. You know, Ricky's married, but she's a nice person to talk to and sell you something.
There you go.
So, hey, I'll even give everybody my number, though, despite the fact that I'm married. It's 866-202-0520, so... Certainly give me a call.
Okay.
And it's a toll-free number, too.
That's right. That's
yeah.
great. All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
If anybody's wondering, I won't be there this year, but Ricky will be. She's better at sales. So
that's because you'll be coding, and that's where you need to be.
Well, no, he'll be gallivanting around Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
communicating about code.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be coding in his hotel room. That's just how Matt is.
All right, folks.
All right. We'll catch
Thanks
you later, guys.
Us.
Welcome to the Accessible Digital Lifestyle from Saratech Corporation, the Accessibility Anywhere people.
What's digital lifestyle? You've heard Bill Gates talk about and seen him demonstrate information flowing among a variety of devices, from cell phones, PDAs, computers, public and private, MP3 players, to Xbox. Steve Jobs calls it iLife. We call it your accessible digital lifestyle. No matter what you call it, if you're part of today's world, you've got to have it to stay in touch and productive. It's not just for geeks anymore. It's for everyone. From instant messaging and online social networking to on-the-go entertainment, it's happening right now. Today, if you're not connected,
you're left behind.
Many years ago, when the idea of personal computing was just beginning, a handful of creative companies recognized the needs of the blind and low-vision community and gave us the accessibility tools we need to participate. But technology doesn't stand still. The current leading accessibility tools are like a two-lane road when the mainstream world is traveling on superhighways. And unfortunately, those accessibility tools are complex and expensive, and only a small fraction of the blind and low vision community has been able to take advantage of them. The structure of the marketplace for accessibility products makes it a real challenge to introduce innovation. We've spent the last 7 years at Saratech agitating for change, but progress has been slower than our community deserves. so we took a long, hard look at what the blind and low vision community needed, and working with the dedicated individuals who formed the AIR Foundation, we concluded that accessibility shouldn't be something only a few could afford or manage. It is every person's fundamental right. To that end, Serotech bestowed a license in perpetuity on the AIR or Accessibility is a Right Foundation that gives them the exclusive right to make SA2Go available to anyone and everyone anytime they are connected to the Internet at no charge.
That's right.
Accessibility is now free, and because our award-winning SA2Go is intuitive and very easy to use, the accessibility barrier has been shattered. We expect, as a result, the blind and low-vision community will emerge as a huge market for innovative products. Anticipating that surge, Serotech is taking the lead on bringing the fruits of today's digital lifestyle to our community. We call it the accessible
digital lifestyle,
and it's here now. Serotech is committed to bringing you accessibility products for the way you live. We've searched the globe for creative, leading-edge companies with products and capabilities that can be integrated into the accessible digital lifestyle. Together with these global partners, we are building a portfolio of products and services that are first and foremost accessible and also connected, linking you to the information you want on the go, giving you accessibility anywhere, customizable to your tastes and needs, personalized to deliver information the way you want to get it. The right speed, the right voice, the right magnification, and able to interconnect with all parts of who you are, your family and friends, your business, your hobbies and interests, your health and well-being, your spiritual dimension, and your fun. We are connecting you, the whole digital you, and we are just beginning. From this day forward, no blind or low vision person need be left behind. The System Access mobile network browser is completely new and improved, easier to use, and takes a smaller footprint. Look for it to appear in new places, giving you more accessibility anywhere. Add XM Radio, Pandora.com, and Last.fm to your listening pleasure through the SA mobile browser or via Internet Explorer using System Access, and enjoy music your way anywhere. Using your Victor Stream, the fastest growing personal accessible device to appear on the market in years, and the System Access mobile network via your computer, and you can securely download copy protected content using the same encryption employed by leading content providers like the Library of Congress and RFB&D. Download described movies and other specialized content, voice and HTML email, community forum posts, blogs, content from my newspaper, and podcasts of all kind. If you just want to stream your music from home, you can do that as well, all while on the go from public computers or at a friend's house. No software or driver installation required ever. If music on the go is your thing, System Access, combined with the System Access mobile network media library, featuring Serotech's exclusive SmartSync technology, can link to your creative ZenStone MP3 player. This tiny, powerful player can hold enough content for hours of listening pleasure. You can even download from online music services like Napster and Amazon's MP3 store. SmartSync will even put audio labels on all your content folders for accessible navigation of your ZenStone. System Access is opening up the leading social networking sites for complete accessibility. You can interact with your peers on Facebook, MySpace, Friendster, or LinkedIn. Every day we are making the playing field more level and bringing together accessibility and mainstream digital connectivity. Because it's about more than just your job, Serotech provides you with life access with speech. At Serotech, we have a list of high-priority projects and services we'd like to make accessible. To learn more about what is happening with the accessible digital lifestyle, visit us at www.serotech.com and drop us a note with your digital lifestyle wish. We envision a day in the not-too-distant future when every blind and low-vision person will have full and complete access to whatever elements of the digital lifestyle he or she chooses. And we're sure we'll not have to do all the work by ourselves. As the blind and low-vision community surfaces as a viable market, mainstream vendors are going to begin making accessibility a standard feature. Until they do, you can look to Serotech, the accessibility anywhere people, to make your digital lifestyle accessible. It's what we do.
Coming up next week on Main Menu Live, actually, it's going to be a two-hour Main Menu Live with GW Micro. We're going to talk about all the new scripting features coming out in Window Eyes version 7, and we're going to demonstrate a lot of them to you, and we're going to talk about the architecture behind Window Eyes scripting. Then we're going to take a little bit of a break for the convention, And then we'll be back with more Main Menu throughout the summer. Thank you very much for listening tonight, and make sure to tune in next week. It's going to be all 2 hours of GW Micro and Window Eyes scripting.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.